Welcome back.
And welcome if you're new. We got our faces this time.
First time ever seeing our glorious faces. I got to be honest with you. We were trying to get video done for like the last, what is it?
Four weeks?
Yeah. But we got it now, hopefully.
This is our faces. We'll find out if this even makes it.
Otherwise,
we'll see you next week if we can't.
Yeah. But I'm sure you guys have been just dying to see the visual.
Yeah.
But we're finally here, guys. So Jean's you guys face. Are actually, I'm Asian. You guys didn't
I know. Am not a girl. I have a beard, in case you're wondering. Anyways, the news this week.
Yes.
All week, really. Last week and a half.
Right. So.
Is the big talk in LA, or everywhere, really, is Ellen DeGeneres, the bitch of a boss, apparently.
According
to some of these news, outlets, they've been saying how much of a bitch she is, how terrible she is to work, sexual harassment for all the interns. All of those things that you think are like, there's no way. She's a be kind lady. She can't be like that. Apparently you're not supposed to chew gum because her nose is so damn sensitive. Like, this crazy accusations that we have no idea if it's true.
Well, okay, so first of all, I just want to catch everyone up. If you guys don't know what's been happening with Ellen, during the quarantine, her show, did it get canceled because of the quarantine,
she always
takes
the summer off, so I think it was just kind of like kind of timing. I think so. Yeah. I'm not a big Ellen. Her audience is like 40, 50-year-old women.
She just takes time off whenever she wants. She can afford a quarter of a year.
I don't know, man. Really? I don't know, but I think she does take a season or like a couple months off.
So does someone replace her with like another
person? I think it's just reruns, but I don't know what they do at work. Like in the office, they're like, all right, guys.
Okay, so basically, Ellen, long story short, Ellen got canceled. Mm-hmm. For being a bitch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Long story short, she was a bitch.
Yeah.
She would tell people not to chew gum.
Can't chew gum.
Because, like, the odor was too strong.
Can't look at her.
Or did she tell people to chew gum when their breath was bad? I thought that's what it was.
I've heard both. I've heard that you can't do it around her, but if it's bad, then you can't
be
around her.
See, how do you feel about that? Not the chewing gum part, but just her overall persona.
A part of me is not surprised, but a part of me is kind of mad because her whole persona is be nice, be kind. And she addressed that in her apology, which we'll get to.
That's true.
But
that's true.
She kind of fed into that, and then everyone's like, you kind of hold yourself to this unrealistic standard, which is nobody can ever hit that standard.
That's what I was going to say. Because with these talk show hosts, their whole persona or why people even like them or watch the show is because they're like, nice, cool people,
relatable,
right? Which you get with like Conan, Kimmel,
Fallon.
Yep. I forget which one it was. Maybe it was Fallon. I heard he's a dick.
I don't know. Kimmel's supposed to be a dick. Fallon, I've heard mixed things about. We haven't really seen them out here. You went to Kimmel. You're in the
I was in
audience.
Was in that part of that show.
Yeah. Did you ever hear things?
No, because I was interviewed by Kimmel or anything.
Well, I mean, like, you hear, like, staff saying stuff.
But, it's tough, man. That show, you would think, like, oh, like,
one hour, show up. Talk about jokes.
No, he's literally saying the same things, like, six different times for the one take.
We can't even do that for this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine?
I mean, that's like an actor.
What, 5 days a week?
Yeah. I mean, every acting, big movie, you gotta go 50, 60 times,
right,
deliver it with the same energy and persuasion.
Right.
Hell no.
Yeah.
You can never do that.
It's tough. Yeah. So, but yeah, so I think it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
Just trying to have that like nice persona all the time.
Some of the stories were
It's almost better to be a dick all the time. And then when you're nice sometimes, I have a friend back home who's just always a dick. Always a dick.
Okay.
But then he just randomly, like, he'll go donate, like, a bunch of money to charity.
Yeah.
Go drop off a bunch of money to, or meals to, like, homeless shelters.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, this is actually a really good guy.
Yeah.
But it would never happen the other way, where, like, if he was always nice and a dick sometimes, people would be like, dude, he's low-key a dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. So I think if you're known as being nice, do you think that you should be a dick, like, to even it out? Otherwise,
I don't think
everyone's
should,
gonna assume
you should be a dick.
Well, just like to balance it, because like what Ellen didn't do is she hid all of her dickness behind the scenes. So when dick things happen, and by the way, bosses do shit like her all the time.
Telling
she's known
someone to chew gum is honestly not that much of a dick thing.
That's what I'm saying.
You
but
know,
was,
but it's coming from Ellen. It's a big dick.
That's
thing,
what I'm saying.
You
like
know?
There are terrible bosses out there.
Right.
But that do worse shit than that.
Oh, yeah. There's, like,
you know?
Sexual bosses that, like, sexually assault. Okay, so that's the other part of the story.
Yeah.
So she didn't, But apparently people that were high up in her staff were sexually assaulting other employees.
Like young interns, yeah.
Yes.
And like, yeah.
So again, I'm not going to put the blame on her, but that does, I mean, there is a there is a reflection on her as well.
There was one story I remember that really got me. It was her, Portia, her wife, and some other people went out to eat, and the waitress had like a chipped fingernail, like she, or maybe like poorly painted or colored, whatever.
Right.
And she was serving Ellen, and Ellen, out of some weird mindset, like went to the top of that restaurant. It was like, hey,
oh my god,
you should fire her because of her fingernails. We should
name her fucking Karen DeGeneres. I mean, that's actually really funny. Are you kidding me?
So they got her fired. Then she quit, and she's like, I'm so. And they offered her back because it was so unreasonable. And but you have to do it because it's Ellen, right?
What if she fucking snapped her fingernails like 20 minutes before Ellen saw
What if she was in a rush because she was, like, picking up a kid or a family emergency?
You know how many girls I've hung out with?
All of them.
Fucking, that fucking have one fingernail missing?
It's embarrassing. And then to have, like...
No, I'm saying it's not embarrassing.
No, it's embarrassing to accuse... To take it to that degree over a fingernail is embarrassing.
As I'm, like so much money picking my fingernail right now. As you're chewing your
nails on camera.
okay, so...
So that, I mean, that's fascinating. So what'd you think about her apology? It was what, 2 days ago? Last week?
I it was very heartfelt.
Do you think it was genuine?
I mean, yes, because she has to be.
I mean, she is an actress. Remember, she even said in her apology, I am an actress. I have been a straight woman on camera before.
Right.
So I'm pretty good at it.
Listen, I'm not going to cancel someone because she was a dick.
Yeah.
That's not a reason to be canceled. Mm-hmm. If you're racist... Maybe.
Yeah.
You saying go chew gum? No, fuck that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck that shit. Yeah, this cancel culture stuff is bullshit.
It is. But I'm happy it happened in that way because they had to clean out people that need to be cleaned out. But unfortunate because I'm sure she knows about it, but maybe to not that degree.
Right.
You know, so I'm happy that it did happen to somebody because maybe future people get scared.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. So the other topic is sports are back.
You are a giant Lakers fan.
I'm a huge sports fan. Huge sports fan, but I grew up just playing sports my whole life and just always following sports. But like growing up in LA is a basketball town. Everywhere else is a football town, but hockey. Like this big city is only a basketball town.
It's funny because the Kings aren't that bad, or they weren't.
Well,
the hockey team.
Well, okay. Hockey is a very like
Midwestern.
That's what we're known for. Yeah, like no one in New York gives a shit about the Rangers. No one in LA gives a shit about the Kings.
Right.
No one in Florida. I don't even know what team is in Florida.
And I feel like all people only cared about the Dodgers when it was Game 7 of the World Series.
So I've noticed the people that care about hockey, because it's played on ice, it's typically colder temperature winter states.
Yeah.
Chicago, like Blackhawks, right? Yeah. Minnesota, places like that. But yeah, basically sports are back and Kyle Kuzma on the Lakers, which Lakers are doing great right now.
Let's go.
Recently went on a bubble date with Winnie Harlow. You know what a bubble date is?
Oh, I thought you said bumble.
Bubble date. Yeah. So basically what a bubble date is all these sports teams are in bubbles right now competing, right? Because I mean, you're playing sports, like that's probably the easiest way to transmit coronavirus.
Right.
So they're sending these teams to a huge area, like typically hundreds of acres, to like go chill, but like you can't leave, right?
Okay.
So now the NBA, they're allowing players to fly in family members, whoever they want, significant others,
you know,
right?
Wigs.
As long as like they go through, you know, 10 to 14 days of quarantine, get tested every day, which. If you're the wife, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know why Winnie Harlow, one of the top supermodels in the world, is trying to fly in to go hang out and go on a date with Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, if she's doing that, they're probably getting pretty serious, right?
I'm assuming. Or they're just bored.
Right. Or,
or horny.
Or I both. Mean, she could probably hook up with anyone she wants. And, but vice versa. Yeah. But again, whoever goes and sees Kyle Kuzma has to be tested.
Yeah.
But anyways, great basketball player, young, good-looking dude. Hanging out with Winnie Harlow, one of the top supermodels, right?
Okay.
What do you think about the whole dynamic of, like, just dating in general right now with, like, coronavirus and, like, how difficult it is for people to just even hang out.
You know what's funny is I think at first people were too paranoid, and then like, you know what, I'm over it. I haven't gotten laid in a while. I haven't been on a date in a while. But I think it's the future of this. So like, do you think after this is all over, whenever that is, do you think people are still going to be like somewhat paranoid of going out and doing this whole thing again? Like, if I'm
It's hard to know because like, we don't know the situation with the vaccine. Yeah. We don't know the situation with the election, all of that. But I do think once this is all over, which I think their goal, the government's goal, is to slowly ease things back in.
Yeah.
Once it's all open, it's going to be, all hell's going to break loose.
Man, it's going to be like, they say it's like the roaring 20s again.
Because think about it. Think about even 4th of July. They were trying to contain 4th of July. Was it contained?
Hell no.
No.
Hell, and then we got a couple weeks, we got Halloween, which is like, we're going to have an entire Halloween episode, but like Halloween in LA is a week long party.
Right.
So it's going to, and they're going to try to contain that. Hell no.
I think Halloween in any big city is like that, you know? So it's
not mine.
Well, I said big city.
Got it. Okay. I see the shade.
Not the biggest city in Minnesota. That's not what I mean. Big city in the US. Yeah. You also wanted to talk about another basketball player that recently got in.
I don't know much about the basketball politics or anything, but it's Carl Anthony
Towns.
Cat, I guess, is hanging out with that Jordan Woods.
Okay.
Who's, I guess,
another model, right?
Yeah, but I think she was really close to the Kardashians, and then
she also does music,
and,
I think.
Yeah, like cheating and music and all that stuff. Okay. But apparently he was like friend zone hard with her, and now there's pictures of them at on a yacht in Cabo getting all handsy, his hand on her ass, her twerking on him, just all those things. And apparently the news is like, he's out of the friend zone, he did it. Do you think they were ever even in it based on those pictures? Do you think he was
in it? I mean, it's hard to know someone's entire social dynamic between two people based on pictures, but if he claims that he was hardcore friend zoned or was in the friend zone, I believe it.
Okay.
But also, he's a man of high stature.
Yeah.
He's a good looking dude. He's fucking 6'11", I believe.
He's got a beard.
And he's a he's a $100 million contract basketball player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you really ever in the friend zone? Right. Are you really in the friend zone, right?
I mean, I get all that, but at some point you have to open your mouth, right? At some point you gotta like get to know them. And if you're too nice, or she just like doesn't see you as a sexual being, and you're just too passive and submissive with everything, you can get friend zone no matter on your status, I think.
Okay, so do you believe in the friend zone?
I think most people that think they're in the friend zone probably aren't. Because you hear a lot of guys that go, yeah, bro, that like super hot model completely friend zoned me. I'm like, she doesn't even know you. You know? Like, you don't even know if you're in the friend zone. I do think it exists, but I think it takes a lot of time to get there. I don't think
you can do that. Do you know what I think it is? I think it is, well, one, you're not putting yourself in the right place to make a move on her. Because it's hard for a girl to friend zone a guy who's like constantly trying to like kiss her, hook up with her, you know, like.
It depends when you do that, I think. I think it's a time thing. I think.
Time and how long you've known them?
Yeah, like if you're super submissive and beta with your entire relationship for like a year, 2 years, and then you start to like trying to make moves, you're like, no, we're just friends.
Right.
You're such a good friend. Why can't I meet a guy like you, right? You and I have heard that line countless times, first off. At least I have.
So, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. But I think, why is she saying that in the first place is what I'm saying. That's because you didn't make the move on her in the first place.
Or you waited too long, or you didn't see the window. Yeah.
If you waited too long, then sure. I mean... If you went for it and then she said you're a friend, then I guess you did wait too long.
But
what I'm saying is, I don't know if the friend zone is necessarily even the bad thing here, right? It's definitely not a bad thing. If most guys make the friend zone seem like it's like a zone that's like, oh my God, she put you in the friend zone. You could be in the fucking creep zone.
Yeah, you could be a lot worse.
You could be in the fuck off zone. You could be in the ghost zone.
The restraining order zone.
Yeah, you could be in the I don't fucking fuck with him zone.
Yeah, block. Right? The block zone.
Right, right. So so don't necessarily think the friend zone is a bad thing. Yeah. But I think a lot of the friend zone has to do with your approach with the girl.
Interesting.
It's not necessarily, girls make it seem like, oh, I put him in the friend zone.
Yeah.
Sure you did, but you weren't interested in him. That's why you put him in the friend zone. Right. It might have been his mistake, though, of when he decided to try to make the move. I'm not saying every girl's going to hook up with every guy. I'm definitely not what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't care how good your looks are. I don't care how great your quote-unquote game is.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to hook up with every girl.
Yeah.
But you should make the necessary adjustments and the measures possible to let her know, hey, I'm not about to be friend zone right now.
Yeah. And actually, I'm going to go along with that.
And if you are friend zone, it's not a bad thing.
Well, yeah. We'll kind of get the nuances of that as well. So I think if you get friend zone with a girl that has really hot friends, really cool connections, really just an awesome human being, that's not bad.
Right.
She can go shopping with you, tell her what other girls like. She can tell you how you look, how you smell, just how your game is in that moment. Like, those are really, really valuable. The best wingman in the world is a hot girl, period. No one can out-debate me in that. It is what it is, I think. And we know some very good guys with women.
A girl is 100% willing to go out of her way to help you, sure.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, hooking up, it's better to have a guy because it's much easier when it's like, hey, two girls, two guys.
Yeah. Right? I mean, of course, if you're going to be specific, of course. But like, if you really want to just get her, because then the girl could befriend that girl's friend. Say like, oh, no, he's really cool. Let Sarah go home with him. He's really dope. Then you're set. Because you have the comfort of a girl, right?
Gotcha.
So, I think having getting friend zoned by a girl isn't always bad unless you're trying to leverage it.
I think in 90% of cases, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
What's funny is these guys that typically say like, oh, friend zone. Yeah. They don't even have or have that many girlfriends.
No.
And you're complaining about the friend zone. You fucking jerk off on the weekends.
You're not in the friend zone, bro. I'm telling you, you're not.
Girls are hitting you up to like go out for drinks. As a friend, you're fucking doing nothing. So stop complaining about being in the friend zone. Yeah. We need to cancel. cancel culture.
Yeah.
We need to cancel the friend zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a bad thing at all. Right. You act like there's like one woman in the whole world. No, there's not. There's millions of women where you could try to shoot your shot with.
And then I think that's a great way to get out of the friend zone. So before we tell you how to get out of it, if you think you're in it, what from like practically, like that's what our podcast is about, is real specific examples. What gets a guy initially into it?
Initially into the friend zone? Mm-hmm. They're not making the move. And if they are making the move, it's not a move of intent. It's not a move of like, I am a guy that's interested in you as a girl.
Yeah.
It's a move like, here's one thing. How do you feel about the question, hey, let's go grab some food sometime. Let's go grab some food if you want.
I still don't like that. But yeah, I see.
Is that...
I think it kind of goes with our episode on starting a conversation.
Right.
I think if you haven't listened to that, make sure you do. We go really specific on to show your intent quick, so you don't get friend zoned. So listen to that one first before you listen to this. So I would say to go back to your question, I think it really comes down to that initial interaction. If you are not flirting with her, if you're not touching each other, like teasing her, talking about sexual things, that will lead you in there. As somebody who has always been in that, and I'm sure you can relate, that was the number one thing I did wrong was I was too afraid to talk about sex, dating, life kind of thing.
Because it's uncomfortable.
For most, it can
literally, if you say the wrong thing or like come off too aggressive, a girl can shut you down faster than a girl will turn her head away when she kisses, you try to go for a kiss.
Right. So I think, and if you're, this was my really bad habit when I was getting friend zoned, is I would do like a lot of like nervous twitches of like, hi, like I wanted their validation when I talked to them. So I'd try to like fish for compliments, which was extremely beta. Right. And I would always laugh. If they weren't that, if it wasn't that funny, I would never tease. I would never show my intent, right? Just different things that as a sum, they're going to be like, oh, you're just a nice guy. You're you're gay.
Like, and it's not, as a girl, it's not an attractive quality for a girl that a guy is like, hey, I'm good looking, right? Like, or like
that voice, girls like you're asking a question.
Girls don't really like me, right? You know, like stop fucking fishing for compliments.
That's right.
You
that's look right.
like a little fucking fish.
Wait, what? I thought you were gonna say bitch. Why'd you say fish?
You look like a little fish. A little
fish. What the fuck? You little
look
fish.
Like a goddamn goldfish. You look like
Can I? Is this okay? Can I do this?
Right. Right.
You're seeking permission.
Right.
Hell no.
No.
Hell no. Turn, stop it.
If you think you're good looking, you fucking say it.
Yeah.
If you don't think you're good looking, then don't say it.
All right.
Change your topic to something you are confident in.
Right.
Like if you're great at fucking playing the piano, talk about how fucking amazing you are at playing the piano. Don't make that the whole conversation, obviously. But
show a little passion.
Exactly.
And initiative. Exactly. But I think most guys, they don't talk about sex. And I think the only way to get you to not do it is if I start doing it slowly. You can't be like, so how do you like your blowjobs? Or like, how do you like when a guy goes down? You
that's,
can't just like
that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but like if the conversation's there, it's there, and that's a good spot to be
it's
in.
Like, did you eat lunch yet?
What do you think about the blowjobs?
I mean, I got some head. If that counts as lunch.
I mean, anyway, I think that
I had that roast beef sandwich.
If you aren't comfortable talking about sex right away, you just have to start. You don't have to go immediate into like blowjobs and going down. So what I think would be a really good question to ask is, especially now during a pandemic, you can ask her like, "How has dating been like for you in this pandemic?" Because for me, it's been tough. Girls are getting a little more paranoid. I can't like, you know, touch you. I can't kiss you because they're still a little cautious, which I get. They tell you like, "Oh, I've been okay. It's been off." You know, and you're like, yeah, I mean, not getting laid in a year. And then you could start talking about that.
Right, right.
And then that could like, I haven't gotten laid in a year either. Right. And so you could start talking about how you're going, you're coping with that.
So but by what we mean by like make things sexual, we don't mean fucking talk about blowjobs and having sex. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's about creating a conversation around something that could see her seeing you as a potential partner.
Nailed it.
Right?
Guess as you talk to her about sex, guess who she's thinking about doing that with?
Right.
You.
Right, right. Like, and if she's not, then
she will. She will the more that you do
it. Then you're already in the friend zone. So maybe you fucked up from the get-go.
That's true. I agree. So, okay. So we talk about the conversation being more sexual. What's another characteristic do you think that guys kind of do that gets them in there? Initially,
gets them in the friend zone.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the whole sexual thing, something we talked about before was touch, right?
Yeah.
Touch is insanely important.
Yes,
and I don't mean like a touch where it's like one you can't. Okay, so there's two types of touch.
I want to show like
there's like the friendly
hover hand.
There's the friendly touch, then there's the creepy touch.
Yeah,
let me show you guys an example.
Yeah.
Of a friendly touch.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I'm not trying to make it feminine, but what I'm trying to show you guys is like
clearly
like I'm trying to touch you as little as possible while still touching you. So that doesn't even fucking count, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you want to ease into it, right? You're
that's
not
exactly
going to like be like, hey, sweetie, right? But like, here's the creepy touch. The creepy touch is you look at the area you're touching. This is the creepy touch.
And you hold it. You have it sit there.
That's fucking creepy. If you're going to touch, it needs to be natural. Do not look at the area you're touching.
Yeah, as you go for the boob. No, but that's a good point. Like, have it be really subtle in the conversation. Like, you know what? I was thinking that.
Right. Yeah. That's a great example, right? Yeah. You want to, like, oh, is your seatbelt on?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me get that for you. Right?
Your necklace is in the way.
Right.
Let me move your necklace.
Right?
Yeah. But you just have a reason to, like, here's one. Look over there. What's that?
Right.
You touch her as you're
this
pointing.
This is how you start it off, though, right? You don't end with this, right? You're, like, you're dropping her off, and you're like, oh, look over there, right?
Yeah.
You want to, like, this is how the moment you get in the car or she gets in the car. Okay, let's say it's a blind date, right?
Yeah.
Let's say it's a blind date, and I go and pick her up. What's the first thing you want to do when you pick her up?
When I pick her up, I'm actually out of the car. I open the door and I'll hug her then. Like handshake.
Okay.
Whatever. Because I want to get that in touch immediately.
Gotcha.
Because if I'm already in the car, it's going to be way less awkward.
Wow, you even opened the door.
I mean, chivalry, bro. What's good?
Wow. That's a damn. I feel like a fucking douchebag.
You are a douchebag, bro.
Get her, the fuck out of the car.
You're texting her.
Yeah.
Alexa, send. Okay. Yeah, I think, because I want to get that touch out of the way fast.
Right.
It's like the band-aid. You rip it off quick. So the longer that you wait to touch it, touch her.
Right.
Touch it, whatever that is. Longer she'll think, like, oh, why is
At
he
the very
like...
least, you should start with a hug, right?
Hug, high five, handshake. Hug.
Right.
Basics. Right.
But again, this is a blind date, so you don't want to overdo the hug, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be, like, holding on for, like, 6 seconds, you know? Yeah. This is like a quick pat. Oh, how you doing, right?
Right.
So you need to build it up. And then you get in the car. You're driving. You're like, hey, what should we go eat? Maybe you haven't discussed that.
Or you can even be even more, that too. But you can be like, what kind of music do you like? And like, I love Travis Scott. Me too.
Yeah.
And then you touch her leg as an emphasis, right?
Right. Not me too.
Right.
Right? But it's, me too.
Yeah, me too.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? Just a light touch. Exactly. Because you just want to slowly, the idea is you want her to get used to you touching her. So like the hug and the kissing is going to be normal.
Right.
Because if you dive in right away with none of this,
right,
she's going to easily back off.
And you guys might be thinking, like, why are we talking so much about touch and you know, showing intent and things like that? This is all the things that contribute to her seeing you as a non-potential mate, right?
Yep.
These are all things that you got to do.
Right.
So now you're at dinner, right? You've touched her briefly a couple times.
You know what's funny is a quick little tip that I've always done on my dates is, this is a lot of people make this mistake, is when you sit at your table, do everything in your power to not sit across from each other for the sole reason of what we're talking about right now. If you sit across from each other, it's going to be like way more awkward to keep touching. But if you sat next to each other and you're like facing outside.
But let me play devil's advocate here. Okay. This is a girl that you just met. It
wouldn't matter.
Really?
It wouldn't matter. Okay. Because I don't like the face-to-face at a table because it's like an interview.
Gotcha.
I would rather be next door because it's more friendly. And then I can look at her like this. I can turn my body language away for a little bit and look back in. I can touch her a lot more, right? It's just better for, obviously, the end game.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
In my opinion. Gotcha. I don't know what you think about that.
I personally sit across because I want to make the eye contact thing, like, very clear. Like, hey, I'm making eye contact with you. I flip my phone upside down so, like, you can't see the screen.
Put it in your pocket. Why is it on the table?
Well, I mean, like...
Whatever. Anyway.
Let's say the phone is out, right? But I put it upside down. Those things, like, I do.
Yeah.
But I feel like the sitting next to each other, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think they're pretty even. But when you're sitting next to each other, if the girl doesn't have that level of comfort with you already, it can make her feel like, okay, this guy's, like, too much in my space already. Right.
I mean, you wouldn't be like next to each other on a booth, but you wouldn't be directly across. I think you should not be directly across from each other, no matter where you are. So if it's hard, but like if you go to the bar or if you have like a ledge and you can sit by each other on this ledge, because I just don't like because you can do the footsie thing, right? But you don't want to, the footsie thing, I don't think is efficient, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
I think if you can sit next to each other at like 45 degree angles, right? Like 45 degree, I think that's a good spot. Because I can still make eye contact with you. I'm still looking like, I'm still like kind of squared up to you. Okay. And I can do this way easier than way over the table, right?
Okay. So I'm not saying, what you're saying is probably correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking in the level of what the girl is comfortable with. For me, it's more of a, is she okay with me making eye contact with her for an hour, 2 feet away from her.
Not blinking,
you know, and like touching her, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on...
Because some girls think that's too intense.
Okay,
if
so...
I'm just like staring at you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think if you've been messaging her for a couple weeks, you already met her at a club, you got her number, maybe that's a little different. I think if it's more like a, you guys like got set up
one,
or like you DM'd her, then maybe you know. So I think it depends on your level of comfort.
Because I would say I would probably focus.
I'm not saying don't touch her on the date.
Right.
Right?
Right. But I think that the car ride is where you can build this comfort. And then when you get to that date, then it won't be as weird to sit like 45 degrees.
Gotcha. Because
I'm not in your space. I think like to be considered in someone's space is like a foot, not even like maybe 6 inches. Because then
I mean, I would be very uncomfortable if like even if it's a girl I'm into, I just met her and like we're like fucking 6 inches or like a foot away.
I mean, you and I are like 4 or 5 right now, and this is fine. Not 4 or 5.
Yeah,
like 3 or 4.
This is fine, but also this isn't a first date for us. You know, right. We're recording a completely different circumstances.
That's a complete, okay, so I'm just saying distance wise. Right. I think
I feel comfortable with this. If this was, let's say,
if we were like this, then yeah,
this would
weird.
Be a little fucking weird, right?
Right? Everyone's on the audio like, did they just kiss?
Yeah. Okay. What are they doing here? So what's the next part?
I think so. The friend zone thing. Are we talking about the date or like the next friend zone thing?
I'm still laughing at you going. The people on the audio are like, what the fuck is this?
Are they actually on a date right now?
What the fuck?
Are these guys gay?
Okay, so what was the next part? Sorry,
I get it all out of here. What do you think is the third most important aspect? We already talked about sex, dating, right, life. Right. We talked about touching. What do you think is the third?
I think the third is verbally communicating to her. So we talked about making topics of like sex comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And then we talked about making physical touch comfortable, The third thing is showing that you are genuinely interested in her, right? If she doesn't still understand after you're talking about sexual things and you touching her that you're interested in her, the third thing needs to be like, hey, I'm interested in you without, you know, showing all your cards.
So it's funny that you say that because I always like to view like this dating relationship world as like two buckets of water, where if you have too much water in you have a bucket of comfort and you have a bucket of how much she's like really into you. Okay. And she just wants to go home with you and sleep with you that night.
Okay. Got it.
So if you have your bucket full of water, but none of the I want you now bucket, you're considered like a friend.
Okay.
Because she loves talking to you. She loves hanging out with you, but she doesn't see you as a sexual object.
Okay. So like literally a gay best friend.
Exactly. So that's like she loves
like,
you, but
hey,
she has
let's
no...
go get our nails done, but we're not.
Let's go shopping. Right. Let's whatever. Right. And if it's the other way, if her bucket is full of I want you now, like let's go home now, and you have nothing in the comfort bucket,
right?
You're a fuckboy.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Right. I see what you're saying. Or she'll never take you seriously.
She'll never take you. You'll try to get to know her, and she'll be like, no, come on.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't even know who I am.
You end up becoming the. Hey, what are you doing at 4 a.m. guy, right?
The WAD, where are you at, right? The classic every...
Right. And maybe that is what you're looking for,
that's what you'd have to do is fill up that bucket.
Right.
Like this.
But chances are, if she's not comfortable with you, you're not going to be comfortable with her, which means you're not going to want to spend time with her and vice versa. So we say like, oh, it's great, let's just have sex. But technically, if you think about it, no, that's not what you want.
Because she just... You want both because if she's comfortable with you and she wants you, she'll go home with you right away.
Right. Because
she trusts you, right? Trust is huge.
Right.
So that's why you want to fill up both buckets of like, I want you now and I trust you. Because when you bring those two together, I mean, you're good. But if you have the extreme of the one, that's a good way to know where you are in this whole dating thing is if she sees you as a gay best friend, that means next time, build up that bucket so you won't get that. And if you're the other way, get to know her more so you're not a fuckboy.
Right. And I think this is the last thing. I think you personally, the viewer listening to this, needs to think before you approach a girl, 100%. You DM a girl, you go on a date with a girl. Hey, where do I see myself going with this girl?
Right.
That's very important. If you yourself don't even know, that's a problem because now you're not going to know how to act. And now you might be too comfortable with her.
Yeah.
You might not show enough. You know, sexuality with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. If you all you want out of it is sex, that's fine. But going into it, know that's exactly what you want. If you see yourself as like, hey, I want to be a friend of this person, but also possibly hook up, then fill up both of those buckets that Tom talked about, right?
Yep. And I think we had a full episode on style. And I think that is a huge element. We're not going to talk about it this episode, but go check out our very first episode of this podcast, The Science of Men's Fashion, I believe we called it. That will really help you. And the reason why is, I don't know about you, Gene, but if you see someone with like a bowl cut, bad facial hair, poor fitted clothes, your mind, you're conditioned like, that guy isn't a sexual object.
Right.
I don't see him as a sexual thing.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Whereas if you have the jacked, you know, fade, fuckboy fade, G-Eazy look, right? He's like, all he does is fucks, but he's probably a fuckboy. So you want to play with your fashion. I think those are pretty big extremes.
Like, you obviously want to be dressed well. Right. But, like, if someone is, like, short and skinny, there's nothing, and they can't grow facial hair.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, but that's why the tips that we said.
I want to
be
more broad to everyone here. Right, like, you should not. Taking steroids and getting jacked is not your way of getting out of the friend zone.
Right.
Getting out of the friend zone is by showing your intent, right? Yeah. Getting sexual with her, touching her. Yeah. That's what's going to get you out of the friend zone.
100%. This is just a small element that I notice. It's a quick fix if you really want to try something now is fashion, which we love talking about. But just go to our first episode if you want us to dive deep on that. But otherwise, I think those three are pretty good, Gene. I think... Yeah. Yeah. First one,
the fourth one being know exactly where you want to take it.
Fourth, right.
That's more of a you thing.
And I think that comes down to volume. I think the more and more that you talk to girls and you kind of find out, because I found like, oh, that girl's awesome. I want to date her or I just want her for tonight. And then you get to talk to her like, wait a minute.
Right.
Those just switched.
Right.
I actually just want her tonight. I want to really get to know her. Right.
Right.
You just got to get to talking to her.
Yeah.
It's hard to make a prejudge without even talking to her.
Right.
She could be hot. She could have a big ass, big tits, good stomach, right? The basics. But until you talk to her, you won't really know your intent until you are in that moment.
Right.
I think.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So what were the four things? Let's go over that.
Yeah. Brief. Really quick to summarize, we have number one is you got to talk about sex, guys. You got to talk about dating, life, love. And the reason why that's really important is because that's exactly what girls talk about their girlfriends with. So you can get her to relate to you. Like that'll help with the comfort bucket because she will see you like her girlfriends in terms of trusting.
Right.
So that's very important. And then, of course, you want to talk about the sex stuff because she'll eventually picture doing all that with you, which is a great goal, right? Number two is touch.
Touch, right.
Why is touch so important?
Touch is important, obviously, because you need to show her that you are a man that is interested in her physically. Therefore, you got to make a move physically.
Period.
Right.
Period. The longer you wait.
If you touch her, like, let's say on the third date for the first time on the leg, she's going to be like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, she's
going to
get the shivers.
Right.
The quicker that you do any sort of touching, high five, handshake, hug, touch the leg, no, like, just like a way of emphasizing your point.
And as the night goes on, you build that up. Like, I was
you progressively go,
you don't
want hug, you kiss on the head.
You don't barely, like, touch her arm on the last hour.
And also, no more floaty hand, no more hover hand. You see a lot of guys go like this with
especially
their girls.
For pictures.
Yeah, on the side of the hip, and they're not even touching it or like around that thing.
Yeah,
that was always funny to me. Just like, just do it, bro. Own it.
Yep.
The third thing was the intent. It's very important.
The verbal intent.
Verbal intent, excuse me. Verbal intent, that means leading. I want you to tell her what you guys are going to do and show her this world that you're going to bring her in.
Right.
Be deliberate in all of it.
Telling her, hey, I asked you on a date tonight because I'm interested in getting to know you better.
I am a guy who likes girls.
You're obviously not going to say like, hey, I want to fuck you tonight. Yeah. Maybe if it gets to that point.
If that bucket is full, man.
Right. Oof. But also, like if you're just starting to get to know a girl, that's your way of saying, hey, I want to fuck you tonight without saying, hey, I want to fuck you tonight.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I want to reiterate the bucket point. So you have a comfort bucket and you have a how much she wants to rip your clothes off bucket.
Right.
And if you have too much of a comfort bucket and too low of the ripping clothes off bucket, you're the gay best friend. You're the friend zone. You switch it, you're the fuck boy. So you want to find a good middle.
Right. Okay. Right. And the last thing is knowing your intent of where you personally want to take something before actually hanging out with her.
Yes.
Obviously, it could change at the date, but you need to know that so that you set your mindset to, okay, this is how I want to take this.
Yep.
I want to touch her right when she, you know, gets in my car. I want to, that sounds creepy as fuck. No, but seriously, like, I want to, you know, I want to give her a hug right when we hang out. You know, I want to, you know, touch her leg.
Tease her.
You know, I want to
talk about sex. Just have that game plan ready. Right. Like, if you want results in the gym, you can't just go into a gym blind. If you want results in eating well, you got to prepare. Like, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Right? I think that's a thing.
Something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. So, guys. Yeah. Hopefully that helped you guys out. And
thank you guys so much for listening. My name is Tom again.
I am Gene.
My Instagram is Tom_CarlsonC.
And I'm Gene W. Park.
Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, share it. Let us know how you guys got out of the friend zone. Try everything that we suggested and keep us up to date. We'd love to hear it. Thanks, guys. Cool.
Thanks. Peace.